Welcome to the Hillcrest Baptist Church podcast. Today's message is called The Meanest Member of the Body, and it's the ninth sermon in our series, Show Your Faith. We hope you enjoy as Pastor Mike Simmons preaches from James 3, verses 1 through 12.
All right, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of James, chapter 3 today, as we're looking at a subject that we're all very familiar with. And basically, it's the subject of the tongue. I've entitled the message, The Meanest Member of Our Body, of the Body. It's the meanest member of my body. It's the meanest member in your body. It's the meanest member in this church. And nothing can tear down or build up any quicker than the tongue. Now, when we do this, when we look at this message that James is talking about, I want you to see it more not just as the tongue, but words. And I say that because I'm keenly aware that we, and I'm talking to predominantly a social media communications group of people. And there's usually a lot of teardown going on. I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of teardown that goes on in social media today. Have you ever noticed how on social media somebody sees something happening and everybody on social media just seems to condemn that person without even knowing the whole story? It just boggles my mind. I mean, you know, whatever happened, innocent until proven guilty in our country. Because I see it this way, you're guilty, you're wrong. And what I see a lot of in social media and in the media itself is everybody setting themselves up as the parameter, the bar which everybody needs to be measured by. When you condemn somebody, you're saying, I know what's right. You don't. I know how you ought to train your children. You don't. I know what you ought to feed your kids. You don't. I mean, we could go into a lot of stuff. So this is going to be a very sobering message. In the first service, it was very quiet. I guess because all the gossipers were in the first service. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But anyway, I'd say that we've got some issues that we want to look at. But let me just read this text to you. And James chapter 1, would you stand and honor the reading of the Word of God? James 3, verses 1 and following. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongues of little is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of the reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter at the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh, the meanest member of our body. Please be seated with your Bibles open. Let's ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the time of worship we've had. Thank you for being able to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ and friends that you've sent our way today. We pray that, God, you'll open up all our hearts to see how you can use us for your glory. You can use us to encourage others and to build up the body of Christ. Teach us today, God, through your word, by your spirit. Anoint your word. We thank you for it. It's perfect in every way. And we thank you for the truth that proceeds out, that sets us free. Pray for those that do not know Christ today, God. I'd ask that you would draw them to your presence. They would be saved, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a young man who once came to Socrates, and the young man asked Socrates to help him with oration, how to speak. And so Socrates obliged, and the man started off talking, and he talked, and he talked, and he talked. And finally, when the guy finally took a breath, Socrates, young man, I will have to charge you double. He said, well, why? He says, because I must teach you two lessons. I must teach you how to control your tongue, and I must teach you how to use your tongue. Now, I don't know if you've been around people that don't know how to control their tongue. They just rip and they go and they dominate everything. But that's what Socrates was talking about. James addresses some of that, but he's using more specifically, he's using the words that we use, and he's addressing that. Whether we're speaking blessings or cursing is what he's talking. We're doing one or the other. We're either blessing or we're cursing. And George Eliot said this, blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving wordy evidence of the fact. I like that. Have you ever noticed when you go into a doctor's office, one of the first things they do, I mean, yeah, they'll listen to you, but first, stick out your tongue. Well, why? Well, they want to see if anything's going on there. If you're sick, they want to understand. Maybe you've got something going on in the mouth. We don't know. Well, James is asking you to stick your tongue out today. He says, we're going to examine the tongue. We're going to see how healthy and mature you are as a believer. Now, here's what you need to understand. James, in chapter 1, dealt with man going through trials, and he says we need to learn to be patient. In chapter 2, he ends up by saying, as we look into the mirror of God's word, he says we need to obey the word of God. And now what he's doing, he's looking at our maturity, and it's reflected, he says, in how we use our tongue. You do realize what you post on social media, what you speak, the words that come from you, greatly reflect your level of maturity in Christ. Now, he's writing this to the body of Christ. That's why he says, my brethren. And what does that mean? To be in the brethren, that means those who have had a profession of faith, believe in Christ, trust in Christ as their Savior and Him alone. So if you've done that, then you're one of the body of Christ. If you've never come to a point where you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing you could do today is give your life to Christ. Because hear me, you will see in this text, you will never be able to control your tongue, control your words, apart from the power of God in us. No other way. And so James is going to deal with this very subject today. And so as we get into it, I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. I want to address just a little bit right here before we get into the message itself. He says in verse number 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now here's what he's saying. He's not discouraging people from teaching the word of God. Now he's primarily teaching the word of God. You that are HCDC, you teach the word at times. You're teaching truth. You're a teacher, you Sunday school teachers, regardless of whether you're in preschool or senior adult, you're a teacher. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. He said, let not many of you desire to do that. Why? He says, because there's some of you that aren't called to the task and you will abuse this. And he says, you are going to be held accountable with a stricter judgment. Here's what I do know. I do know that every time I step in this pulpit, I need to know what the text is saying. I need to know with as much accuracy as I can deliver it exactly what God is saying to us in His Word. That's why I study a lot. That's why I read a lot. I'm like Dr. Jerry Vines, who's going to be with us next April the 19th, one of my favorite expositors. He says, I milk a lot of cows, but I churn my own butter. Some of you will get that before long. I read a lot of stuff, and I put together what I come out with on Sunday morning. Some of you say you need to read a little bit more. Maybe I do. And so I read a whole lot. But here's the thing. I'm aware that I have a great accountability for what I do in this pulpit. And it needs to be as accurate as I can understand it and present it in such a way that it honors God. Do you realize that the average person, now hear me, the average person speaks 30,000 words a day. Some of you know some above average people, don't you? You never get a word in. But in 30,000 words that you speak in a day or write in a day or communicate in a day, what comes out? What kind of words are they? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 36, listen to this, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Dear child of God and dear lost person, one day, every lost person will have everything they've said brought up to them. Then there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ where every believer will go to, and we will give an account for every word that we have spoken. You say, I thought once we're saved, we pass it. No, we have the judgment seat of Christ where we're going to be judged for what we've done in this body since we've come to Christ, whether it be good or bad. Then he's going to clean us up, and then he's going to cheer us up, and then we're going to spend eternity worshiping Jesus. And so what we see is there's an accountability. The first thing I want you to see is the power of the tongue, verse number three. Look what he says. Latter part of verse number two picks up, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put a bit in a horse's mouth or in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. That's simply what he's put. If you've ever ridden a horse, he's saying this. We know that if you put a bit in a horse's mouth under the tongue, that with the reins that you can guide that mighty horse. Have you ever noticed how small a jockey is? A guy that rides those things. My leg weighs more than some of those jockeys. I mean, those guys are just that big. I'm not thinking. But they can turn and guide that horse, make that horse do, that mighty powerful horse do what it says to, that jockey says to do. And he says the tongue is like that. The tongue can guide a lot of stuff. The tongue can direct the course of somebody's life. That's the power of the tongue. How many of y'all have gotten a great encouraging word at a particular time, either orally spoken, phone call, or a note in the mail that changed your course, that made you realize, you know, somebody does care. Some of you had that word spoken to you. I heard about this little boy, or read about this little boy who went out at rec time, played on the playground, and he came back in. Both his eyes were black. His nose was bloody. His mouth was bloody. And the teacher said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Wrong word to the wrong boy." You see, you can make a mess of your life by saying the wrong word at the wrong time to the wrong person, or you can make a mess of somebody else's life. So he said the tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. Also, he talks about it in verse number four. He says, look at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. I mean, look at these huge cruise ships. Have you been on a cruise? I've never been on a cruise. Those ships are massive. Some of them weigh 20,000 to 60,000 ton. That's not counting the people and the luggage, somebody reminded me in the first service, that you carry on to it. 60,000 plus ton. And it can be steered by rudders. Most of them, the big ones, will have four rudders, and I know they're propulsion driven as well with the rudders today, not all, but many are just steered simply by a rudder. The captain stands at the helm, and I know they're computerized, but he has to guide it in, and he guides it in by the rudder. And if the rudder is just off, he will crash that thing into the dock, as we've seen recently happen, or he will guide it right in very smoothly. He said that's the way the tongue is. The tongue is so powerful, the tongue can set things in a course of direction. As I was looking at this, I thought about the tongue of Dr. Billy Graham, who's with the Lord now. It is estimated that Dr. Billy Graham spoke to 2.2 billion people throughout his ministry. That many people heard him preach. It's estimated that over 200 million people came to Christ through his ministry. Why? The way he spoke the word, he lived a life with great accountability. He lived it with great impeccable character. He lived it above reproach. He lived it in such a way that he spoke the love of God, and always he preached on the cross, took every message to the cross. His life was that way. But what if he had been somebody that had a character that was messed up, speaking poorly about others, speaking negatively? He would have never made it in ministry. God would not have been able to bless his life the way they did. The power of the tongue. But look also at the pervasiveness of the tongue, verses 5 through 8. When I say the word pervasive, that means it just penetrates. It just goes out. It infects all over. And this is what he tells us in verse number 5. He tells us in verse number 5 and through 8, it says this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great the forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about when we begin to be critical, when we tear down and when we gossip and when we backbite, he says that is coming from the very pit of hell itself. You're being used of Satan himself. Your tongue is tearing down individuals. The words that you post that are negative, it's from the very pit of hell itself. It's set on fire by hell itself. This is what he's saying. And I believe that. And he goes on to say, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. He said, there's no animal that man cannot tame. I'm telling you, people tame all kinds of stuff and then they get a little bit arrogant and then they get eaten by the animal that they've tamed. You know, they don't pay great respect. That comes from Genesis where God spoke to man and so to Adam that the animals will have submission. You're to rule over them. And I can tell you right now that some of you have animals that you've tamed that now train you. I know I've got some dogs. Mary Beth says it's my fault. Yesterday morning, I got up at 4:30, let them out, gave them their treat, told them to go lay down. They laid down. I promise you, at 6 o'clock on the dot, the big dog came and the little dog came. We only got two. The big one came first, wagon, time to eat, breakfast. I feed them breakfast at 6. I don't have to set my clock, brother. They will come at 6 o'clock to eat. Did it this morning. I delayed them from meanness till 7. I said, go lay down. And they come back. And I said, you go. They try to train me, and I'm just not going to let them do it. You all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he goes on to say in verse number 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We know what kind of destruction fires bring. We see it on the news every year when droughts come to California, just a little spark, somebody throws out a cigarette or whatever it may be, just a little bit of lightning hits and all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of acres are destroyed. Just a little fire. How many of y'all remember the story in 1871, the Great Chicago Fire? You remember how that started? Miss O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern. And because that cow kicked over a lantern, the city of Chicago caught on fire. 17,000 homes were burned to the ground. 300 people lost their lives. 100,000 people ended up being homeless because of a lantern. And he's saying to us, that's the way the tongue can be. You think that you're just attacking one individual, but I will tell you, he says you're attacking the whole body of Christ that you're a part of. And not just us, it's the body of Christ throughout this country and around the world. Because anybody that does harm to the body of Christ is being destructive to the whole body. Not just a little bit, but the whole body is what he's saying. This is what James is telling us here in this particular passage. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27 and 28. Listen to what it says. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife. I love the story I read about these two farmers. One, they were talking about the subject of gospel. Gossip. He says, you know what? Anytime anybody begins to dig up a little dirt, they bury themselves in a deeper hole. Stop and think about that. When you begin to throw dirt, you're digging a hole for yourself because you're digging the dirt up right where you stand. Morgan Blake said this, who was with the Atlanta Journal. He wrote this years ago. I am more deadly than the screaming shell from a howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity is strong enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip. That is well written. That's exactly what gossip does. Gossip does nothing but tear down. And by the way, you know what gossip is? Gossip is spreading half-truths, which is a total lie. Yeah, that's the way we do it. We just pick out a little something. We don't tell the whole contextual story about a situation. We just tell enough. For example, let me give you something that I've just heard recently. I'm going to let you ponder. You think I'm going to share your story. No, I'm not. I hear stuff like, well, we're just not doing anything with that expanding the reach. They don't do anything. Well, that's a lie. There's a lot been going on with expanding the reach. Let me tell you some of the things that's been going on. First of all, you have to get plans. You have to draw up plans. You couldn't draw up plans until we got the program approved. And it takes a while to go through everybody that's going to be used in the facilities. You got your design team and everybody else. You got to go through all that, and then you get your plans. And then you got to go to the city to get the city to approve it. The city has to go with P&Z first, and then it gets approved by them, and then it goes to the city council. It goes approved by them. You got to process, and sometimes that takes a lengthy time. In fact, we were going to pour a parking lot out there where we tore the little house down where the college used to meet, but they said, you all don't have plans. Well, we thought we had plans because we had submitted the parking lot three different times with three of the different buildings over there that the parking lot was going to be there. They said, we don't have detailed plans. So then we had to back up, get detailed plans. We finally got that approved last week, and we were going to pour that back in August. Now, let me just share with you a little bit about expanding the reach. We've been working on the plans for the L building, and we've been working on plans for the B wing, where the offices are. We can't do anything in the B wing until the L wing's done. Now, keep up with me. You want to know why? Because we got to have a place to move some of the offices so that we can, got to do that over in the L wing. And the L wing, until it's done, we can't move the offices out of the B wing so that when the offices move, we can renovate the B wing. And then we can finally move Sunday school out of the M building and put them over in the B wing. Now, some of you are getting lost with the M's. And I mean, we have so many letters of the alphabet around this place, I don't even know where I am sometimes. But we can move, then we'll move to renovate the M building. And that's why we're not doing the E wing, because the E wing is going to be for student ministry later on, but we can't do anything there until we are able to get everything opened up education-wise, and then we can go and remodel that. We're also working on the gym right now, remodeling that. Not a remodel, but sound and audio and visual in there. So finally, we can probably have a worship service in there. More likely, Espanol. Espanol's outgrowing the student building. And so we're already in the process with that. We got plans going on. It's not about a bunch of dirt turning. There is going to be some dirt churning. There's going to be some different things. In fact, we're already making plans. We're waiting to see. We're waiting to see what the estimated cost is about enclosing the courtyard. Our architect's drawing up plans on that, going to tell us whether we can or whether we can't. We know we only have so much fun. Now, here's the other thing. Somebody said, why didn't you get an independent contractor to do that? Well, let me just tell you why. If you wanted to spend several hundred thousand dollars more that we couldn't spend on the building, we could have had it done a little more timely. Okay? So which would you rather do? Would you rather spend more money hiring somebody to do it for us, or would you rather do it the way that we're doing it right now? We're having Rupert overseeing it. I've set Rupert free of staff meetings and everything. He's on revival, not being in staff meetings and everything. The rest of us are in misery because we'd rather be building the building. No, I'm just kidding. But we're saving money so that we can build more and do more with what we've got. So people have said, well, they're just not doing anything. Well, that's a lie. So just get the whole truth out there. Tell everybody the truth. It's coming. And we believe that the L and the B wings will be done by the end of the year is what we're anticipating. So that's just what he's saying. That's gossip. Gossip works that way. And you know what I've heard? Well, people have said, since you're all not doing anything, they're not going to give anything to expand and reach. I said, well, that's their disobedience to God. They need to do what God tells them. I don't care. Listen, I give to stuff because God tells me to. I don't do it based on what I see happening or not happening. Amen? And you know what? God just blesses us because we give in obedience to him, give it to the Lord. So he tells us here that the tongue defiles. Verse number 6 is what he's saying. It defiles. It just absolutely is like a poison. It just runs rapid. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Listen to what it says. Not what goes into the mouth defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles the man. He's saying, it's coming from right here. It's coming from right here. Whatever we're saying is coming from right here. It comes from our heart. You've been stewing on it. That which you post on social media that's poison, it's been right here. Speaks of your spiritual walk with the Lord. Speaks about your maturity is what he's saying. Goes on in verse 7 and 8, he talks about how the tongue devours. He talks about these animals that man is able to tame. Notice what he says, verse number 9. He says, we bless God the Father, and with it we curse man. Notice what he says, who have been made in the similitude. You're cursing God's own creation. You do know that you're going to be a blessing or a cursing with what you say. Dads, don't curse your children. Bless them. Don't say can't you do anything right? You'll never amount to anything. Moms, don't do that. That's a curse you put upon your children. Put a blessing on. God made you, you can do anything you want to do. That's what I always told my kids. I was hoping one of them would be a multimillionaire and take care of mom and dad. That's what I was really praying that God, but I don't know what God created them to be. But I said, be what God wants you to be. Be a blessing to them. Let me share a story. I've shared this recently and hadn't shared it much, but there was a guy back in Virginia where I came from 28 years ago by the name of Brian. Beverly knows Brian, one of the finest young men you'll ever meet in your life at that time. I don't know what's happened to Brian. He was 17, straight A student, gifted athlete, very respectful. And I witnessed Brian over and over and over again. And finally, one day I got to talking to him. I said, Brian, tell me, why won't you trust Christ as your Savior? He said, I'm just going to be honest with you. I just don't think I can be good enough. I said, no, you can't be good enough. You can't do it. You can't do it. And people, hear me. If you're thinking you're going to be saved by you being good enough, you're going to be lost and go all the way to hell. Because we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by anything we do. We're saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, the shedding of his blood, how he defeated the grave when he was raised up. And we're saved by the grace and mercy of God and his love towards us. That's how we're saved today, by grace, not by works. Because if we were saved by our works, then we could boast all the way to heaven, God, look what I've done, and we would rob God of his glory. And God's jealous of his glory. So it's not by this work stuff. It's not by all this stuff. He says we bless. And this old boy, let me get back to the story. Brian just said that. And I got to talking to him. I said, Brian, you can't do it. And I said, tell me something. God just told me to ask me. Tell me about your relationship with your father, your dad. He just dropped his head. He said, well, he says, I've never been able to do anything good enough to please my dad. He said, if I brought home a B, my dad said, well, I wanted A. If I brought home an A minus, well, I want an A plus. He said this, I remember, and he was a senior in high school at the time. He said, I remember playing a little league game, had the best game I ever had. He said, I hit a single, hit a double, I think he hit a triple, and he hit a home run. He got on base 3 or 4 times in this game, and he struck out once. Coach commended him, couldn't believe how great the game he played. Brian jumps in the car all excited. Dad, what'd you think about the game? Did you see all my hits? Did you see my home run? He said, I didn't see any home run. I saw you strike out. That's all I saw. Just crushed him. And so what his dad did was speak a curse on him. Because he thought, man, if my earthly dad's this way, how much more is my holy God that way? Listen, Dad, you're a projection of an imagery of Christ and Father, the Heavenly Father, of what they see God to be. You project that truth in their life. Don't speak a curse. Don't speak blessings every chance you get. Build them up. Encourage them. If they're wrong, teach them. You don't have to beat them down over it. Teach them. Teach them the way to do it. Same thing in the body of Christ. Same thing with the people that you're hanging with. Same people that you're social mediaing with. Don't curse them, bless them. Glorify God through all of it. He says the tongue can devour. It's what animals do, they devour. The tongue defiles, it poisons, it devours. You know what animals will do? Many animals will attack their prey from the back, just chomp on that back. You want to know why we call it backbiting? We tear them down from behind their back. We chew them up and devour them. Galatians 5:15. It says this, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He says, in other words, what the scripture and the law of harvest is, what goes around comes around. You're going to be consumed by it as well. it will come home to you. Then go on and look what he says in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. A.B. Simpson, the Christian missionary with Christian Missionary Alliance, said this: I had rather play with a forked lightning, or take in my hands live wires with their fiery currents than to speak a reckless word against any of God's servants. Look at the problem of the tongue, verses 9 through 12. With it we bless, with it we curse. Out of the same mouth that proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. Notice what he gives here. He gives us some impossible situations. It's impossible, he says, for a spring to send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening. It's impossible for a fig to bear olives. It's impossible for a grapevine, he's saying, to bear figs. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. He's given us some impossibilities. He's telling us what it ought not be. And that's why he says back up there that it should not proceed. These things should not proceed out of a believer's life. It ought not be that way. But it is. That's why he's addressing this. James was pastor of the church of Jerusalem. You want to know what he was dealing with? He was dealing with gossip and bitterness and backbiting. And he was addressing that to the church. Oh, they had that in the first church. Yeah, you don't want to know why? Look in the mirror. People. We're people just like them. We're just like them. Clothed differently, different circumstances, different year, different day. We have that old nature in us. We got that old flesh that we grapple against. And we let the enemy dominate us too many times. And what he's saying is, here to us, he's saying physically it's impossible to bring about different fruit from the tree itself. You can't bring forth oranges from a peach tree. And he's saying to us, you have a different nature in you. If you've been saved, you've been born again, you've been transformed, you have the Spirit of God in you. And he's saying, spiritually, you will never, ever bear the fruit of love and kindness and encouragement apart from walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God. This is what this is about here. He just says, you can't do it. We sang a song a moment ago, your praise will ever be on my lips. You want to know where that comes from? That comes from the book of Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Corinthians 6, 20 says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Scripture says praise ought to come out of our lives, not curses, not tearing down, not posting stuff that condemn and criticize, set us up a judge. I mean, anybody in here got it all together all the time? If you do, pick up your stones and rip. Let it go. You that are without sin, just go ahead and stone the fool out of the rest of us. What he's saying. I had a senior adult come to me afterwards and confess. She said, Pastor, he gave me the scenario. I said, well, I didn't know anything about that. And she says, I took this down before this service, but I took it down. I just wanted you to know I was guilty of what you said. By the way, I know the word's out. I've got a Facebook page. I'm going to tell you, I accidentally signed up. You say, how do you accidentally sign up? If it can be done, I can do it, okay? I promise you I can do it. Here's how. I went to the, Harry Suggs asked me to go over to Cowboy Kickoff Lunch. And there was one business over there. I wanted to get their stuff, so I had to register for their business. And I was going on there. I went on their website, the business. I can't remember what it was right now. And it took me age. I promise you it was this way. It was tan in color with speckled, red speckles all throughout it. And it had in the center a red thing that said, subscribe here. Enter your email and password. I entered my email and password. It clicks to another page and it says, welcome to Facebook. I said, what? I promise that's how it happened. I said, I don't want Facebook. I hadn't had Facebook. I don't want it. All of a sudden, I start getting all these requests to let people be my friend. And they've been accumulating. My text messages come on. And so the other day, I started just looking at those, and I'd click it, and I'd click it, and click it. Mary Beth called me and said, Dad, having fun on Facebook today, are you? I said, well, she says, you don't have to accept everybody. I said, well, everybody I'm accepting, I know. There's some I don't know, but I accepted everybody, and I still hadn't accepted everybody, so don't get alarmed if you sent me a request. And when I accepted some people then text me and say, is this really you? Why? There was no post. I had no photo. They said, there's no photo. We figured we'd been scammed. I said, well, it's me. The thing is, Mary Beth said, Dad, I'll help you. I said, I didn't want to face you. She said, oh, I'll help you. So probably if anything gets posted, pictures and storylines, it's probably my daughter. So if it's really bad, it's my daughter. No, I'm just... But, you know, Bev and Mary Beth and them have kept me updated with people on Facebook. I didn't feel like I needed my account. But I do read enough in the news to read about stuff like that and how tragic it is and how we tear down people. Let me just share this with you. That song that we praise God ever with our lips. Love the story I read this week about this little girl. She went into her daddy who was in the den, and she had sat on his lap, and she started hugging him. And she was looking around behind him, and she saw her little brother come in and sit down. They'd just had a big fight. So she was hugging her daddy, and she stuck out her tongue at her little brother behind her daddy's back. The mom saw that, walked in, infuriated, and says, you get out of your daddy's lap right now. Little girl got down, said, why? She says, you cannot hug your daddy and stick your tongue out at his son at the same time. Now take that one. You can't come in here and, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, and at the same time walk out and curse a brother and tear down the body of Christ. Belittle the church. Be critical of somebody on social media. You can't come in here and sing that. He says, this, it's just not right, but that's who we are. So what he says, let's do something about it. Look in verse number 2 of chapter 3, real quick, and we're wrapping it up. Look what he says. For all stumble. What's that mean? All stumble. You know what that means? Everybody in here stumbles at time. Anybody in here never stumbled? I didn't think so. If anyone does not stumble in word, notice this, if they do not stumble with his tongue, with what they post, in word, if they do not stumble in word, notice what he says, he is a perfect man. He is not saying they are sinless. He says they are mature in Christ. Because hear me, the only way you can control the tongue and the thoughts and the words that proceed from your heart are being filled with the Spirit of God. And we know from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, that when you're filled with the Spirit, there's love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and kindness, and self-control. So hear me. when somebody starts criticizing around you, do this. I said Adrian Rogers used to say this all the time. Tell them you don't have garbage can ears for garbage can talk. Well, let's be a little politer. Say, I don't want to hear that. Thank you very much. I love you, but I'm not going to listen to that. That's all you got to do. Don't give them the courtesy to sit there, and don't aid and abet their disobedience to God. Just say, no, thank you. I don't care if it has validity or not. You don't listen to the nonsense they're sharing. If they've got a problem with somebody, they need to get to the person they've got a problem and never say a word to anybody else about that problem. Anybody comes to me about a staff member, you know what I do? I'll say, not going to hear it. Have you talked to them? You go talk to them, and then if I need to meet with you with them, I'll go meet with you with them. Don't you all come to me about anybody, anytime, until you've gone to the person, and then if two or three then need to go in and reconcile the difference, we'll do it that way. You got it? Period. It's the way it's going to be. That's biblical principles and truths. But here's what he's saying. It says more about your spiritual life than anything else. It says you, when you begin to do this, criticize and curse and tear down, you are showing just absolutely what a baby in Christ you are. You're in maturity. When you gossip, when you complain, when you backbite, when you tear down, you are showing total immaturity in Christ. In fact, if you never hear anything good coming from you, it's probably a pretty good sign that you're not even saved. So what do you do? What do we do about this? Number one, pray. David, King David, Psalms 39:1. I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Psalms 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I've shared with you many times one of the first things I did it this morning. First things I try to do before I get out of the bed is lay there and say, God, take my life today and use it for your glory. Fill me with your spirit. I consecrate myself to you. Let my mind think what you want. Let my eyes see what you want. Let my mouth speak what you want. My ears to hear what you want. Let me go where you want. Greet people the way that will honor you. God, I give myself to you. Just start filling yourself with the presence of God, awareness of God, at the get-go before you do anything else. Consecrate yourself to God. Secondly, ask God to send the fire from heaven. Where did he say this bad stuff comes from? He said the fire of hell. Your tongue's been set on fire by hell. You know what our tongues need to do? Like in the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 4, it says this, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with one another tongues as the Spirit gave it utterance. That was not tongues that people are all worried about. Listen, we don't practice unknown tongues here, but I can tell you what he is saying. He is talking about everybody began to speak. When Peter spoke and the disciples spoke, people from 17 different dialects and languages heard them in their own language. This was an actual language. That's what he's saying, the fire we need. We need the kind of fire that comes from heaven that gives us the love of God towards all people. So they hear the gospel, hear the good news. You know what happened on that day when God got a hold of their tongues? 3,000 people got saved. We ever wonder why people aren't getting saved? It could be we need to let God get his fire on our tongues so we'll share the good news and God's love with other people and tell them about Jesus. And then the third thing, ask God to take any bitterness out of your life and to make your fountain sweet. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Some of you got bitterness in your life. That's an unforgiving spirit. You got bitterness in your life because what somebody said or what somebody didn't do, what somebody didn't say, whatever it may be, you got bitterness. You know what bitterness does? Bitterness brings many troubles. Let me just tell you. Remember when Jesus was telling the story about this man who had owed a great debt, and the man came to collect it from him? He said, please forgive me. I don't have the money. Don't cast me in prison. I need to take care of my family. The guy said, all right, I'll forgive you a big debt. Massive debt. That same guy who was forgiven of much goes to this guy who owed him just pennies and says, I need you to pay that debt. I don't have any money. I can't pay you. I'll pay you over time, but I can't pay you all. And he said, I'm going to cast you into prison. He cast him into prison. Then the one who had forgiven the guy of much debt came to him and says, I heard what you did. I'm casting you into the tormentor's hands. You know what that word tormentor is? Hear me on this. You know what that word tormentor is? It's about a guy who couldn't forgive, a guy who couldn't let go, a guy who couldn't forget. The word tormentor means to have a cancerous tumor in the stomach that just eats you alive. You know what I always practice? I don't care who does what to me. I just go ahead and forgive. Just go ahead and forgive. Why? Why? When I look to the cross and see Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus gave everything for me. Surely, with all I did to Christ, with what's been done to me, I can forgive anybody anything. So when people come to me, this is the truth. I've had people come, and they'll say, Pastor, owe you an apology. And literally, I'll do this. Well, about what? You want to know why? Because I haven't stewed on it. I've let it go. Just man, I've got too many other things on my plate to just stew on what somebody did or did not say to me or do to me. You understand what I'm saying? And plus, it's the right thing to do so I can love the brother who or sister who did that. Then the last thing. Write the verse down. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's that consecration I talked about.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you for joining us. Check back next week for another podcast or join us at Hillcrest Baptist Church for worship every Sunday at 9 or 10:30 a.m. to hear a live message. Have a great day.